As we let some people delay paying taxes or mortgage payments given the virus, what about water, gas, and electricity bills? I'm David Brancaccio. The House is scheduled to vote today on a third coronavirus relief package, this one roughly $2 trillion. The Senate passed the bill Wednesday. Marketplace's Washington correspondent Nancy Marshall Genzer is following its progress.
The bill is meant to cushion the economic impact of the coronavirus crisis. The biggest chunk of aid, more than $500 billion, goes toward mostly loans for corporations and state and local governments. There's also more than $350 billion in loans for small businesses. Those can be forgiven if they're spent on things like payroll, rent, and utilities. There's more than $250 billion to expand and extend unemployment benefits, giving unemployed workers an extra $600 per week and providing an extra 13 weeks of benefits. And most Americans would get checks from the federal government, $1,200 per individual and $500 per child, subject to income limits. I'm Nancy Marshall Genzer for Marketplace.
Now, need I ask, how are you feeling about the U.S. economy? The University of Michigan asks a sample of Americans this question every 2 weeks, and amid coronavirus, we'll have an update today. Here's Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman on what we could learn beyond the obvious.
Early this year, consumer confidence was nearly the highest it's been in a decade. Then COVID-19 hit.
When all of the sporting events were canceled and there was news of celebrities contracting the virus, consumers turned extremely pessimistic.
John Lear at Morning Consult says its surveys show confidence is down 24% in the past month. Some of that's from all the job losses. And Lear says people increasingly fear for their financial security.
Roughly 50% of U.S. households own stocks. So when the stock market falls, you know, that's hitting their retirements directly.
The Fed and Congress plan to inject trillions into the economy, and Mark Hamrick at Bankrate says that'll buck up consumers. But on the flip side,
if we see a substantial number of storefronts that are shuttered, that's going to undermine our sentiment.
He says keeping employers afloat until they can start hiring again is key to an eventual consumer rebound. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
Seriously, we're supposed to now call this a bull market? Technically, yes. With the Dow up 21% over 3 days, you could call it a bull. In a few months, contact me. We can look back and discuss this together. While the Dow rose 1,351 points or 6.4% yesterday, the Dow future this morning is down 375 points, 1.7%. London's FTSE is down 3.5%. Bonds are slightly more popular this morning, pushing the benchmark 10-year interest rate down 0.77% there. We're also covering the car industry, where Ford and Fiat Chrysler are now planning to reopen some factories in April despite concerns among workers about the virus. GM is staying closed for now and is cutting white-collar salaries by 20% and furloughing 6,500 people. With the focus on letting some people put off mortgage payments or in some cases rent during the COVID emergency, what about the water, gas, and the electricity? Some states have worked to stop utility shutoffs, including Maryland, Kansas, Kentucky, some cities too, Atlanta, Phoenix among them. But shutoffs are still happening in many parts of the country. I spoke with Sherilyn Eiffel, president of the NAACP Legal Defense Fund.
Well, it's actually quite astonishing that we have these, you know, orders coming from the highest levels of government asking us to stay home. We have school closures across the country, which means that we have sent children back home to stay at home. And yet there has not been consistently across the country a recognition that we're sending children to homes where the water may be turned off or where electricity or other utilities may be shut off. This is a very serious public health issue. And what this now requires is governors and mayors to recognize that this should not be on the list of worries that people who are struggling financially have, along with keeping themselves safe from this pandemic. They should not worry about whether or not their children will be able to take a bath and drink water in the home.
You're clearly working this issue at the local, county, and state level. This isn't something that just needs to be done with a line in some legislation out of Washington?
We would love to have a nationwide moratorium on all utility shutoffs, but every day turnoffs are happening. The wheels of Congress, as we have seen over the last few weeks, grind slowly. And so, you know, we can't wait.
We're also talking about a much bigger issue. People were struggling before this virus ever hit.
Yeah, you know, one of the things this crisis has revealed is really the very precarious situation of so many Americans as it relates to healthcare, as it relates to their jobs, as it relates to their wages and hours. People are living hand to mouth. They're relying on their paychecks, and the need for us to stay at home and the layoffs that have happened have revealed to us the very precarious situation in which many Americans live. And we've got to, when we have a moment to breathe from this pandemic, turn our attention to dealing with those structural issues. We are uniquely ill-equipped to take on the challenge that a pandemic like this presents to a country. That's because of existing deficits that have existed. And this is an opportunity for us, when we have a moment, to begin to address what are the fundamental weaknesses in American society that have largely resulted from our failure to ensure that Americans are not living at the financial margin.
Sherrilyn Ifill is the president and director counsel of the NAACP Legal Defense Fund. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
The economy is arguably changing more radically right now than at any time since the Second World War. Subscribe to our daily newsletter as a guide. You can sign up at marketplace.org/newsletters. Our executive producer is Nicole Childers. Our digital producer is Alex Schroeder. Our engineers are Brian Allison and Jay Siebold, all but Jay, working from home. I'm David Brancaccio, Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.